Okay, and this morning for our reading that we'll do, we're going to be Jeremiah 31, which we had tonight, this morning, so we're going to have the reading of it and explaining of it in our study of our study this morning. So let's begin with the word of prayer. How grateful it is. What a joy it is to study the word of God, to understand Heavenly Father, even the time in which we live, the time when to come is going to be better. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will be with us as we study your word. Precious, we, Father, pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's first of all sing.
Let's sing Blessed Redeemer, hymn number 109. All the way through Blessed Redeemer, hymn 109.
Declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness, Israel, when it went to find its rest. The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore I have drawn you with loving kindness. Again I will build you, and you will be rebuilt. O virgin of Israel, again you will take up your tambourines and go forth to the dances of the merrymakers. Again, you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. The planters will plant and will enjoy them. For there will be a day when the watchmen on the hills of Ephraim call out, Arise, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, Sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chiefs of the nations. Proclaim, give praise and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I am bringing them from the north country. I will gather them from the remote parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, the woman with child and she who is in labor with child together, a great company they will return here, and with weeping they will come. And by supplication I will lead them. I will make them walk by the streams of water on a straight path in which they will not stumble. For I am the father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare in the coastlands afar off, and say, He who scattered Israel will gather them, and keep them as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and redeemed him from the hand of him who is stronger than he. They will come and shout for the joy on the height of Zion, and they will be radiant over the bounty of the Lord, over the grain and the new wine and oil, over the young of the flock and the herd. and their life will be like a watered garden, and they will never languish again. Then the virgin will rejoice in the dance, and the young man and the old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give their joy for sorrow. I will fill the soul of life and priests with abundance, and my people will be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children, because they are no more. Thus saith the Lord, restrain your voice from weeping, and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord, and they will return from the land of the enemy. There is hope for the future, declares the Lord, and your children will return to their own territory. I have surely heard Ephraim grieving, you have chastised me, and I was chastised. Like an untrained call, bring me back that I may be restored, for you are the Lord my God. For after I turned back, I repented, and after I was instructed, I smote on my thigh. I was ashamed and also humiliated, because I bore the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a delighted child? Indeed, as I have often spoken against him, I can certainly remember him. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, declares the Lord. Set up for yourself road marks. Place for yourself guideposts. Direct your mind to the highway, the way which you went. Return, O virgin of Israel. Return to your cities. How long will you go there and there, O faithless daughter? The Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman will encompass a man. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Once again they will speak thy word, this word in the land of Judah, and in its cities I will restore their fortunes. The Lord bless you, O abode of righteousness, O holy hill. Judah and all its cities will dwell together in it, the farmer, and they will go about with the flocks. For I satisfy the weary ones and refresh everyone who languishes. And as this I awoke and looked, and my sleep was pleasant to me. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah and the seed of the man and the seed of the beast, as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to overthrow, to destroy, and to bring disaster. So I will watch over them to build and to plant, declares the Lord. In those days they will not say again, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone will die for his own iniquity, each man who eats the sour grapes, and his teeth will be set on edge. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least to the greatest of them, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, and I will remember no more.
Let's continue with When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, number 111. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, would you join me in song?
Thank you. have many things to be thankful for. We have a church, we have teaching, and we have fairly decent weather. We got some rain. We're filled. If prayers are answered. So we have many things to be grateful for, as far as the healing and. But we also have questions on current prayers. One was Lori's dad. How's he doing?
He just finished his second week of chemo and radiation. They did find out it had spread beyond what they had thought initially. But talked to my dad on Friday. He sounded really encouraged. And my mom are trusting the Lord and sticking with the plan. They really like their doctors. So he's got 4 more weeks of chemo and radiation, then they'll reevaluate. Probably 3 to 4 more months of chemo, localized chemo in the tumor, and then do another analysis and see where it is. So thank you all so much for your prayers.
And I guess Tish, continue prayers for Tish. Was that earlier? Did we said that about 25 years?
Yeah.
We've been praying for half of her, for at least half of that.
Yeah.
And how's your arm?
The broken arm's not bad. It's healing nicely. The left hand is still numb. I finally went and had nerve testing done on it because I to make sure it wasn't a pinched nerve in my neck. And it's not. It's the carpal tunnel's pinched. So what I did when I fell really hard, I sprained both wrists. Mm-hmm. And so this one's got the pinched nerve. So this is worse for me than my broken arm. I can't do much with my broken arm. This one, I can't feel a thing in my fingertips. Yeah, so, but at least we know what it is now, so now we can treat it properly.
What are they going to do about the other, this one?
I'm wearing a night brace, and then I'll go see the doctor on Wednesday to get some more x-rays on this, and we'll decide what type of treatments we're going to do. Icing, we can just get the inflammation down, but I don't know how they take care of the pinched nerve there. So
he's only, at this point, he's got to take more pictures.
Yeah, Wednesday I'll get some more x-rays of this arm. And he'll know what to do with this guy. The guy I'm seeing is a hand and arm specialist anyway, so he'll take care of it. He had it diagnosed before I ever had the nerve check. He kind of knew what it was. And he just wanted to have him tested to make sure we were treating it properly. But and then I have some praise report for Thomas. Mm-hmm. Wednesday passed his third qualifying exam, so he went from a PhD student to a PhD candidate. Mm-hmm. And in his words, I have about no more than 3 years worth of work, several research projects, several papers probably to get published, and then his dissertation, then we can officially call him doctor.
We're still going to call him Thomas.
I'm proud of that.
That's a big step, because you're either getting kicked out of the program by then, you know, the professor lets you know you're not going to make it, or else you accept it. And so, yeah, he passed. So.
Yay. Did you do Michael Stubbe?
And I have Bobby on the
Bobby, he's doing good. You know, he's still just trying to heal. Okay. Yeah, so the rotator cuff, I think they are going to go ahead and do surgery on it, though. That I just don't know when. But they decided they can do that, and it's not going to limit his abilities to walk, because, you know, he's still on a walker. So he's been practicing walking on his cane so that he can use one arm. But the doctor said the recovery on that surgery should be pretty quickly, and it's just microscopically, so hopefully he's got use. Anyway, so spirits are good, and he's just plugging along.
Glad to see you here, Judith.
Thank you.
Answer prayer.
Let's see.
You're doing okay?
Doing better.
Good, good. We've got lots of others. I get Chris Phyllis on here. I'll be seeing Phyllis next week. So I guess prayer for me that travel. Been watching the news, and the availability of pilots is a problem. There are not so many pilots, so we'll see if we get our flight. We tried yesterday. We tried to get some seat assignments, and the whole airplane, it looked like there were two seats that we didn't have to pay for. We took those two seats. Now, there were sort of parts of the airplane. Well, at least we're on the plane. So, we'll see. Anything else? Yes?
Two things. One, we had Jeff Denton. He's a pastor at Waterbrook Church out in the Wiley area. should be on our prayer list, but he's stage 4 cancer. He's kind of involved with the fact that he's got about 3 or 4 months left. He's got young kids, young family. The church is going through the administrative parts of trying to figure out what they're going to do next. So just be in prayer for the for Jeff and his family and the church. I know they teach the gospel, right now we need to be in prayer for all the churches out there that are teaching the gospel and the truth. So please be in prayer for them. And then also please be in prayer for our planning for the young people. So we are meeting this week to have some initial conversations on dates for next summer's summer camp and kind of begin the process of putting together the plan for the next 12 months. So just be in prayer for the young people and for all the staff that are in the planning stages and see where God takes all of us.
Hey, you have just a few months. You have the young man, the pastor, is that in life?
Yes. Yeah. There's nothing. It's spread to his whole body. There's nothing. We know that there is something that can be done. Whether God is going to be in the miracle business in this one or not, that's his will be done, and we pray for that miracle of healing. But just in prayer for all that they're going through right now.
How many children do they have?
I got two.
Two?
Two young children. Pretty sure that's two.
Phil's not here. Talked about Brother Linus in Nigeria. I don't know any word, but Nigeria is not an easy place for a Christian to live. So, I'm used to just having it on the side here, and I forget to got to speak into the microphone. So, Phil's not here to talk about Brother Linus. He's living in Nigeria, a difficult place, and he needs our prayers. God can find a car for him and protection for him. And our list goes on and on and on. I don't know if there are any other prayers that... yes?
Just for Nick. Praise for Nick. He's had a great first 2 weeks at Oklahoma State.
Yay.
And that's so much answered prayer. He's taking care of business. He's jumping in with his academics, meeting people. Please, if y'all just continue to pray, he'd be encouraged to find a church. And he has met some like-minded believers and is really connecting there. But we're just praying he finds a good church and a home up there. So y'all keep praying for him.
I know when I became a believer at Florida State that was important. There was a pastor. Actually, there were two pastors. And they started a church at a funeral home. So it worked, but they were both from Dallas Seminary, and one of them had been in RB Themes Church, so we got some good teaching, and that was a good start. So having that a church that's doctrinally founded is very important. And I look back at Florida State and the organizations that were there, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship and Campus Crusade, I guess it's called CREW now, they don't seem to be the same kind of organization that they used to be, at least on the internet from what I saw. But, of course, in those days they didn't have the internet, so couldn't say comparison. So, anything else? Okay, well, let me go ahead in prayer and lift these people up. I won't name individual ones here, but we'll go through them. Thank you, Father, for the church we have. We pray for each and every one of the members. We're each and every one of us in the battle, in the angelic conflict. And we need to be reminded to constantly be in faith dependence on the Holy Spirit, that we might accomplish your will. We pray for the individuals that were mentioned here, Father. They need your help. And we pray that you can find a way to solve their problems, heal them, move them forward, and bless them. We pray for the church, for guidance, for the offering, and for Herman and for Judith, that we might move forward. We're grateful, and we constantly say thank you, Father, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Once again, would you join us to sing Break the Bread of Life, Break Thou the Bread of Life, 138, hymn number 138. Would you turn there with me, please?
Break Thou the Bread of Life, dear Lord, to as Thou didst bring the loaves beside the sea, beyond the sacred page I seek Thee for.
Okay, usually we just read, but today we have to talk about it, study it, so we're working on communion, but we're looking at 1 Corinthians, verse 11 and following, so let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we study the Word of God, we pray Your Spirit will open our eyes as we read through. Understand what You're doing in history. To this end, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's begin reading at verse 23, and then we will get to work as far as where we left it off last Sunday. 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Just want you to note, he is there talking to Apostle Paul and doing this. So now he's talking to the young men. And when I had given thanks, when he had given thanks, he broke it, said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We've studied that. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, so supper's over. And he's talking now. And in that conversation, this one comes up. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Okay, this cup refers to the cup Jesus Christ used this night when the 11 disciples in teaching the communion in the new covenant is to Israel, not to the church. Jeremiah 31. So it's a new covenant. It's going to be talked about in the church, in the communion, but it's not talking about the communion in the church, but about the one coming. Behold. So now we learn a little bit about it. Behold, days are coming. Now that, of course, is the rapture, and then the time following the rapture, and then the millennium. The days are coming. This refers to the days of the millennium, when Jesus is the king and high priest, declares the Lord, when I will be and I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, verse 32.
This is Jeremiah 31.
Yes.
Okay.
This is about Jeremiah. So let's go and be sure we got it. The Lord is talking here about the new covenant to the church and to us. But about it is what we're now looking at in Jeremiah that's going to occur in the millennium. So, verse 32, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. Now, verse 32, but this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel and after those days. So this talks about the millennium, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So, now they're going to be Gentiles at the communion, at the time, at the millennium. So that he's talking to it right here, he's talking to the Israelites. There are people, Gentiles from there, but they're not part of this. Now, so they must always bring to your mind that will Jesus Christ is the making of the covenant. He mentions with what is very prominent in his mind, and that is the coming of the people of Israel. Israel. Not of the church, but of Israel. The church age is about the coming of the church, about but about the future now is coming of Israel. There is 7 years of tribulation for the tribulation, and then the millennium will come about in the millennium. In the time of the church age, there was the indwelt of the Holy Spirit, and you choose it to be filled with the Spirit or not filled with the Holy Spirit. But that's not going to be the case at the millennium. It will begin with Jews in the millennium, and they will be empowered by the Holy Spirit right from the beginning, not choice. They will be their sitting will be gotten by God, by Christ at this time. There is no choice of being filled with the Holy Spirit or not. And every Jew will be indwelt, this is at the millennium, be indwelt and filled with the Holy Spirit. Every Jew will. Now, do you have their understanding? Sure, yes.
Gentiles will or will not?
I was just getting ready to add, Gentiles will not.
So in the millennium, Jews will be filled with the Spirit, Gentiles will not.
Will not.
I'll let you continue.
Okay. But in time, there will be a number of Jews and Gentiles, first believers in Jesus Christ as their Savior and choosing to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But in the age of millennium is the only age where Jews will have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at the very beginning. They will have both the indwelling, filling of the Holy Spirit at the beginning. So, it was the age of Gentiles. Simple, believing in Jesus, the one that we live in. The age of the Jews is the age of Israel in the decision to be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. That's during this period. But they're not going to be able to at this one. At the age of the church, each one, Jew or Gentile, choose in Jesus as Savior and indwelled with the Holy Spirit and choosing to indwell by the Holy Spirit or not. He will have the Holy Spirit, but choosing for be empowered by the Holy Spirit or not. Both Jews and Gentiles just will be empowered by the Holy Spirit, but have to make a decision. But in the millennial age, we'll start off with Jews believing in Jesus Christ and dwell by the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit immediately. Okay, any question? Okay. Now, yes.
Sorry, I got to back up. So, in the church age, all believers, Jews or Gentiles, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
At the rapture, we're all gone.
We're gone.
Tribulation is the beginning of the age, the final age of Israel.
Yes.
Anybody who walks out of that into the millennium, or is passes and is a believer, will go into the millennium. Indwelt with the Spirit or not indwelt with the Spirit?
Be indwelt by the Spirit, filled by the Holy Spirit. Not even choose. No, be just the Jews. There'll be no choice involved. The Jews will not have a right to choose.
So there will be Gentiles that choose to believe
Gentiles
in the tribulation.
All right.
And they'll move into the millennium.
Jews will believe in Jesus Christ. Well, none of them will believe to him at the beginning because they're already there. They're already believers. Be they Jew or Gentile, they're believers.
You're talking about the beginning of the millennium.
Millennium, yes. Yes. They're already there.
Okay, and none of the believers are indwelt with the Spirit at that time because we are with God.
Not at that time.
So when we return with Christ, we will not be indwelt, but the Jews will become indwelt.
Jews, yes. But there will be Gentiles. There will be Gentiles on earth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is this the time of the 144,000 Jews?
That's the tribulation, right?
That's the beginning of the trib.
When is that?
The beginning of the tribulation. 144,000 we left to
be. Beginning of the tribulation.
That would be the tribulation. That would be the tribulation. But in the millennium, we'll start off the millennium with Jews, filled with the Holy Spirit, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll start off with Gentiles who will be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Yes.
Can those Jews quench the Spirit?
No.
So they're stuck with it.
they're stuck. They're stuck. At the beginning, and then as time goes on, they have their children and all, they will just choose not to. Okay? So, verse 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25 now. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." All right. So, about this is to remember that he gave his body for everyone. He gave his body for everyone. But this age is for the new age of the millennium. Now, this is a reminder of the plans for the future of Israel in the future. What a wonderful thing this is. Every time we have communion, every time we have communion, that we think, if we understand it, we think at this time, take this morning, is given for us and for the future of Israel. What does the cup represent? One, it was going to represent the new covenant, but covenant also represents for the church. What is it about the church, to the cup, that will be important to you and I? The cup that gives encouragement. The cup and gives encouragement in the 11th chapter, in the chapter 11, to the church. In this first communion, all right, first communion with the disciples, were distraught. They were discouraged. They were in fear and uncertain about the future. But tonight, the first night, just prior to the crucifixion, Jesus Christ tells them, not what he was the day he's going to die, but also about his resurrection. About his resurrection, which will take place, and eternal life will be given to everyone who believes. Therefore, they would be filled with joy if they're in line the first morning, the first night communion. Not only is his going to his Father, but he was going to be given to the Holy Spirit. To every person will be given the Holy Spirit. So there's two things that he's going to do. He's going to take the Holy Spirit with him to the Father. But he's going to leave the Holy Spirit back there on earth for all of us. We have the Holy Spirit, but not Him. Now, and they all should be ready to know what now how to live a powerful life. That's by the Holy Spirit. Full of joy, therefore the cup should be a taking of encouragement by you and I till we take it today. It should be an encouragement of the new age, of the church age. Now, what does Jesus say about the cup that would give to them and to us encouragement? It is designed to give us encouragement. What is it about it that gives us encouragement? Without the presence of Jesus Christ. So we have the believers now. Jesus Christ will be gone. Think about it. Think about this encouragement. Even this inner happiness with Jesus Christ leaving. Jesus Christ is leaving, and here it is, they will have the presence of the Holy Spirit. We do not have have Jesus Christ, but we'll have the Holy Spirit. That's for the church age. It is now symbolized, remember, of the cup when you and I do it this morning. Verse 25, in the same way the cup after supper, taking the cup. Jesus Christ now takes the cup, makes a symbol for something that brings strength and happiness to their souls. Now, the phrase, this same way, he took the cup also, saying, bread was distributed, but it's over, and Passover is over. It's finished. Passover is finished. So now we come to the church age. After they have finished eating, the meal is now over. And again, while Jesus Christ is still there, he's talking with them. So he's talking with them. Jesus Christ is at a meeting and talking with them. In a moment, while he's talking to them, he is going to take the Holy Spirit, reach out, and took the bread, the wine. So he's going to talk while he takes the wine, sitting there in front of them. Each one of them, each of the 11, had a cup of bread, a cup of wine. Was sitting there in front of them was a new cup with wine in the same manner. Okay. One, there is an interval between the taking of the bread and the taking of the cup. There is an interim between the taking of the bread and the taking of the cup. Therefore, we must have this phrase. They came for celebration of the Passover. The Passover is now over. And they are eating, having conversation as per John chapter 14. And Jesus did something most dramatic. He took the bread in the symbol, made it something to be given to everyone. He then took, in the manner, he took them a cup. The bread. So the cup, the bread is taken. He now takes the cup. not just an eat, to eat it as with bread, but, so this is over, but to do something very special with it. So, in like manner, Jesus purposefully reached out and took the cup which a saint sat in the front of them. In front of them, they took it, the disciples took it, and the cup, and they enjoyed the cup, just the cup. And three, this also includes the blessing of the cup. After supper, he, Jesus Christ, took the cup in the same purposeful meaning as he had earlier taken with the bread. So you got the idea? He took the bread, served before God. Later, in a few minutes later, he will be talking and he'll take the cup to give them the suffering of the cup. Give them the cup. All right. Saying now, Jesus Christ speaking, he says something that will turn this cup into a symbol for something that will receive or give encouragement to the disciples and to each of us in time. If we understand what's going on right now at the table. This cup is the new covenant, my blood. This cup is the new covenant. So he takes it, as I said about it. As bread represents salvation, the cup represents spirit-filled life. Bread represents the crossing of the Red Sea. The cup represents crossing of the Jordan River. So, first of all, I have the crossing of the Red Sea, and then the crossing of Jordan. These are two different. In my blood, this is in a remember of a spiritual death on the cross. Do not think about his blood, but his death. His death for us on the cross. Don't think about his death. Think about his death. Don't think about his blood, but think about his death. Verse 25. Now, know this. Often, as you drink it, remember me. Now, each one, taking of the bread, think of it, drink it. We remember his spiritual death for us and future of Israel. When we take of the communion, we drink the cup, and the cup with two things. One, we're thinking of Israel coming in the future, and us right now, of thinking about Jesus Christ with his spiritual death. So two thoughts right now in the midst of taking the communion. Now, we do not think of the new covenant of Israel. This is Israel for the millennium. But this is a cup of blessing. Cup of blessing. 1 Corinthians 10:16 is not the cup of blessing of which we bless a sharing of in his blood of Christ. Is not the bread which we break sharing in the body of Jesus Christ. Any question? Okay. Which I must understand the cup of blessing. Now, cup of blessing is very important to the Word of God. It's very important. For an example, Deuteronomy, you can write this down, Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, have the blessings from God are given. From God, they give and going, the giving a convey and gives good, the giving good stimulants. Refleshing is symbolic, symbol of spiritual blessing. Spiritual death, spiritual blessing. This is to be the blessing from God, and to that blessing is to context in a encouragement in life. This is for the belief of the church age, where our understanding of the new covenant, just understanding it, but it's for the church, for Israel. Now, verse 24, here he is given thanks, he broke it. Again, this is a Passover, this is for Israel as much as the church. But it thinks of, we're to think of the Israel taking of the opinion, thinking of the cup and the bread, we take it for them, for what's going to be happening in the millennium. But in the church age, we do it for blessing to it. In the, verse 25, in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This is his blood, that's his spiritual death. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And this is where we're going to begin on this study, on our study of communion at the next communion. So tonight, this morning, we're going to take communion that we take. We take the cup and both the cup and the bread. Now let me just turn over here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 begins this as far as our study is concerned and tonight and this morning. What we're going to do, for I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, very important, which we've studied, took bread. That's the first part that he's taken of communion. And then, and when he had given thanks, he gave thanks for his death, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you, do this remembrance of me. So this is, introduces our sermon. First, what we do is, first of all, introduce, get everyone, get a copy of the bread. Night between Jesus Christ and the disciples. A lot of talking, but also the bread and the cup. He took it, he said in verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my blood body, which is for you, for this and for do this in remembrance of me. Father, there is so much between the 11 disciples and Jesus Christ that we have to think about. Part of what we think about is his death upon the cross. So, Father, we thank you for the offering of the bread which deals with his death. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Then he took the cup and passed the cup around. Of all of this going on, he took, in the midst of all of this, a cup in front of them. That's what we're looking at. So let's stand now, if everybody will stand. In the way, in the same way, he took the cup after supper, so the supper's over, and says, this cup is the new covenant. And that's what we're going to have at the millennium, but not at the church. My blood, do this in remembrance of me, in the remembrance of me. Heavenly Father, there is so much to be understood in the millennium, in the church age, in this dinner, so much remembered. Give us an understanding. We pray now that you would just bless the believers, bring us into remembrance and these things. We thank you for the food we're getting ready to eat for our time together. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.